The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
All week, all year, it's all college football on the Chuck Oliver Show, and I certainly appreciate Dave Bartu coming on earlier in today's program, like it does every Tuesday, bottom of hour one, all the way through top of the hour. It's going to be Dave Bartu, as right now we've been talking some draft and quarterbacks specifically, talk some wide receivers and such, coaching changes, etc. So always enjoy Tuesdays visiting with Dave Bartu. He is CFB Matrix. Coming up in about 10, Richard Cross. Good friend of mine, does sidelines, Ole Miss radio broadcast for football, SEC Network, does hoops and baseball and such. So I always love catching up with Richard. And now that spring's done and moving on, it's a good time to kind of reconnect him with him. And then also Connor O'Gara, bottom of the hour, Saturday down south, going to bounce all around the SEC. That's in about 25 minutes, but right now I'm going to get you up to date.
Everything you need to know about college football. Every single day, this is CFB 365, presented by Ecoderm. Text Ecoderm to 31996 now for your free sample of Ecoderm pain relief cream and CBD from Frank Thomas. Text Ecoderm to 31996 now.
Headline, Texas lands former Alabama linebacker, top recruit Ben Davis. Talking about him earlier today, he announced last night that Texas is where he will play his 2021 season. One of the nation's top recruits, talked about this in hour one, five-star kid, number one inside linebacker coming out of high school, February 16, signs with Alabama. 6'4", 250 pounds. Made seven tackles. Appeared in 24 games for Alabama. His father, Wayne Davis, still holds the Alabama record career tackles. He's got 327. Ben Davis had seven. Now, we know who the head coach at Texas is and the personal relationships, and whether that's hiring or recruiting, I mean, the relationships in all fields come into play. Ben Davis is not landing at Texas unless one of his former assistant coaches, and I know he's on the other side of the ball as the head coach there. He looks right, but just never, ever got on the field. And the Longhorns actually brought in another kid already Sunday, linebacker from New Mexico State, who's actually produced. He had 69 tackles, a guy named Devin Richardson, as a freshman in 2019, freshman All-American at New Mexico State, 6'3", 235 pounds. He's one of those that fell through the cracks. And so Texas looked at the kid, oh, New Mexico State, you're in the portal? Come visit. Now, he couldn't do that, but he'd get that virtual, that digital visit. He's like, oh, those are nicer facilities than we have at in Las Cruces or Albuquerque or, Dan, where's New Mexico State?
Las Cruces.
It is in Las Cruces. Okay. So he transferred. That made sense. They looked at the kid and said, wow, uber productive freshman All-American. Looked at Ben Davis and was like, look, I think that kid can play. I really do, and we need a linebacker. So there you go. Consider yourself up to date. I'm going to go ahead and wrap that up because there's one more story I wanted to talk about that may require a little bit of conversation here. And this is former Florida State linebacker Geno Hayes. Folks, he passed. He's 33 years old. Played with the Bucs, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, played with the Jags. He had been in hospice care in Valdosta, Georgia, earlier this month. Been hospitalized more than 20 times in the past year. was on a list for a new liver beginning in December. And his health over the past month, as we said, goes into hospice and really started to point downward, really turned into a tough situation. But he has told ESPN that he believes taking over-the-counter pain medicine, and I don't know how much he took, and he may have stated that, but I just don't have that information. But I do know he has specifically said Tylenol, Advil, and Aleve, and he said also a family history caused his liver to fail. And so he has passed at age 33 again. He says liver disease 2 years ago, he got a diagnosis. And he said that it's brought on by using the just regular drugstore over-the-counter pain medication. He says that he thought it was safer than getting shots from team doctors or so. So when he had aches and pains, he just popped. I don't know. I've never taken more than one Aleve or I think two Advil. I'm guessing he took more. I don't know that. But if you think just taking something you can right off the shelf, you don't need a prescription. If you don't think that can cause that kind of damage, it absolutely can. In fact, for most people listening right now, I'm going to probably, this will be education. This will be new to you. But it's a story worth finding out about. Go Google your computer and find out more about Kenny Easley, wherever you have to. Do you know who Kenny Easley is? No? Okay, you're not supposed to. Kenny Easley is one of the all-time greats out of the Virginia Beach area, the Virginia coast. What is that, the 757? Kenny Easley, unbelievable player. He went out to UCLA and played safety. And this was back in, I'm talking like late 70s, and he was a first-round pick in 1981 in the NFL draft with Seattle. Played 7 years there. He was a five-time Pro Bowler, four-time first-team All-Pro. All right, that's the one where you only get 11 on defense. His second team 1 year. So seven seasons, five All-Pro berths. He was unbelievable as a safety, and he was a modern-day safety 40 years ago. He's 6'3", about 210 pounds. He's a thumper, man. And I'm talking about one of the greatest players. He's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He only played seven seasons. Think about that. That's how great Kenny Easley was. I'll say even now, 35 years almost after he's retired, he's one of the five greatest Seattle Seahawks ever. Just an unbelievable player. Do you know why he had to retire? Severe kidney disease, he says, brought on by over-the-counter, regular old drugstore pain medication. He was like, I didn't want that because the NFL teams, especially back in the 80s, drugs, folks, they'll give you the hard stuff, okay? Some of it came in a caplet. Some of it came in a vial. An NFL locker, they'd give it to you. And he's like, I don't want that. Severe kidney disease. So his story has been known, and again, it's just, his version of it. He's like, I know this is what it was. It's a more common occurrence than we probably believe. And if it can happen to a world-class athlete, it can happen to anybody, including Kenny Easley or Geno Hayes or anybody else. So it is one of those things where you look on the cap and, you see those, only take two every 8 hours or whatever it is. You may want to think about it. So just a tough story there. Again, with a good guy in Geno Hayes. He has passed on at age 33.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves. And people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Catch the king of college football no matter where you go with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
Nine states, 51 sticks, talking college football every single day for 2 hours. I appreciate y'all getting in for this. Grove Bowl this past weekend, a little something for everybody. There was some offense. There was some defense. There was. Actually, in the red zone, as a matter of fact. There was some rain. There was some batting practice. There was a lot going on. It was a party in the SIP. Want to welcome on right now a good friend of ours, again, from the SEC Network, from the official radio broadcast of Rebel Football. It is Richard Cross. Richard, how are you, man?
Chuck, I'm great. It was a party in the SIP. They decided that was going to be the hashtag, and they had T-shirts, and we'll see if that's an ad campaign going forward for Ole Miss football. You know, it's interesting, though. Not only do you have Lane Kiffin, you've got some of the other coaches that have kind of embraced the hashtag, the social media world. And I really think what they're trying to do, and I think they're doing it with some success, is just try to create what looks from the outside to recruits like a fun environment, like a party, if you will. Obviously there's a lot of work to be done, and it's no fun if you don't win. And it doesn't matter how many hashtags or slogans or catchphrases you've got if you don't win. But in the interim, creating a little buzz around the program, not a bad way to go.
No, it's not. Matt Corral was out there with the, now you're not looking at me, but I'm going to do finger quotes, the first team offense, because that was the format. And that's the best one, a one and a two versus a one and a two. And so you break it up and then draft all the rest of the players. And that's how Ole Miss decided to do it. Who exactly out there with Matt Corral out on the perimeter is somebody who you actually have some takeaways for this fall? Because I bet there were 20 players missing from that game.
Yeah, there were. I mean, the top five running backs, if you have five running backs that are going to get carries in the fall, none of them played in the spring game. They only brought Braylon Sanders, Jonathan Mingo, and Dontario Drummond in for about the last week and a half, maybe 2 weeks of spring camp. They were really careful with guys, trying to keep people healthy, give time to those that needed it to heal up a little bit more. That's why you had so many people not playing. And, I mean, that's kind of a trend all over the country. But my takeaway was Braylon Sanders has a chance, if he stays healthy, to be really good in this offense. We know Lane Kiffin offenses find playmakers. They figure out a way to work the ball, through the guys that have the best ability to make plays with the ball in their hand, especially in space. And a healthy Braylon Sanders, I'm not saying that he's Elijah Moore. I'm not saying that he's A.J. Brown, but there's breakaway speed. There's elite pass-catching ability. It's just a health thing because he's not a huge guy. He's not little, but he's, height-wise, he's plenty good, but he's not thick like A.J. Brown or Laquon Treadwell from a few years ago. He's had a couple of knee injuries along the way. I talked to him after the game on Saturday. Man, he was grinning ear to ear and said they had a blast this spring. He felt really good and was excited about the fall, which is, we'll get here in a hurry.
You better mention DK Metcalf. He'll thump your skull next time he sees you. You're talking about big receivers and you don't include him?
We were talking about wide receivers, not offensive linemen.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, exactly. Jerry and Ely and Henry Parrish Jr., let's talk about their roles in the offense because I know their running backs they didn't play, and Snoop Connor didn't play as well, but I was asking somebody about the scenario of Jerry and Ely getting into the pattern maybe as more of his regular duties, and the conversation kind of morphed to include Parrish and that maybe Snoop Connor is actually one of the maybe the best running back option with the other two still on the field. So I know that personnel options, big for Lane Kiffin, he may have a ton of them at running back.
Yeah, I think there's something to that. I don't think there's any question that Snoop Connor is the guy that they kind of like between the tackles. Now, with that said, I feel like in some ways Jerry and Ely has been pigeonholed because you look at him and you think he's a little bit smaller. He is smaller than Snoop Connor. He's not 220, but he's a 200-pound running back that's 6 feet tall. And so there's plenty of size. And when they have consistently run him between the tackles, he's had some success doing it. But he certainly is a home run threat when you get him to the outside. Snoop Connor, when it's, third and goal from the two and they're going to hand it off to somebody, he's the guy that's going to get the handoff. I do think that there's an argument to be made that he has been a little underutilized in the offense, and I will be honest, I wondered out loud if he might transfer because he didn't think there would be enough carries. But it seems as if they had have convinced him that his role is important in this offense, that he's going to get touches. I mean, Henry Parrish, you know, at times last year looked so explosive. And, I mean, I think he's probably the future feature back post Jerrion Ealy. But this is an offense that does like to have multiple weapons. And, you know, I don't know if you know this or not, but there's a tie to Lane Kiffin and Nick Saban. And Nick Saban seems to have had some success having multiple running backs and a guy kind of waiting in the wings for his turn. We'll see if that's the way they're able to make it work at Ole Miss.
And I wasn't being sort of like, you know, Bronx cheer or anything about the defense. There was a stop, and it was a red zone play. There is some blue sky, at least, you know, it's in the thought stage. But there's some blue sky for defense, especially based around so many early enrollees.
Yeah, you're right. And, I mean, you know, I've talked about this some before. Ole Miss doesn't have to make the jump from the second worst defense in the history of the SEC to a top three defense in the SEC. They've got to make incremental improvement. They've got to be able to get off field occasionally. And I think the way that they're going to be able to make incremental improvement, if you think back to the way the season unfolded, and I always – you know, I feel like somebody's snickering on the other end of the line when I say if Ole Miss had played just a little bit of defense, then, you know, maybe the outcome against Florida and Alabama is different. But given the way those games played out, if Ole Miss plays just a little bit of defense, then perhaps the outcome against Florida and Alabama is different. So what does that mean? Well, let me use the LSU game last year as an example. You remember Kayshawn Boutte for LSU. He's still open. And the route that he ran over and over and over was a 15-yard dig route. And Chuck, you know that is a route that takes a little while to develop because you got to go 15 yards and you got to plant foot and then drag across the field. Well, Max Johnson had forever and a day to allow that to develop. So, a lot of words to say, I think it has to start with a little bit of pass rush. And one of the things that you're going to see this year more of and maybe kind of as the base is a three-man defensive line front, which, you know, more and more teams are going to. That's what they did 2 years ago when Mike McIntyre was there for the season with Matt Luke, and they had, you know, a little more success than they had in recent years. Got away from that for the most part last year, but I think that's kind of going to be what you see, three-down linemen and a lot of nickel-and-dime situations in the defensive backfield.
Last thing for you, and actually, we got about a minute left. I want to ask you about maybe downstate, Starkville. I have to imagine on y'all's show, you got some conversation about that ESPN Football Power Index and what they think of Mississippi State. It got my attention.
Yeah, it did. But, I mean, I do think it's important to understand what the FPI is. So much of the formula that goes into that is returning production, and Mississippi State's got three quarterbacks with production on the roster. You know, you have Jack Abraham that comes in from Southern Miss and kind of a career's worth of production there. And the kid that transferred in from Texas, what was Sam Houston or somewhere else. And so that's a piece of it. But the other piece of it is they got some good players coming back. You know, chief among them, Jaden Wally, who was just kind of burst onto the scene as a freshman, and he's so much fun to watch. I think there's reason to be excited in Starkville. I don't think they figured out who's going to play quarterback this year, which is a little crazy with, you know, the highly thought of Sawyer Robertson coming in, Jack Abraham transferring in, and of course Will Rogers, who got better and better as the season went along once he kind of slid into that role last year.
Richard, good stuff, man. Appreciate you carving some time today, brother. Thank you.
Always fun, my friend. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, Richard Cross again from all of his media endeavors, which include radio, TV, et cetera. So I always appreciate his time, as I said. It's just there's – you know, I mentioned the defense with Mississippi State going into last year, and I've given you my comparison, best athletes he's ever had, best unit he's ever had. But there's more on offense than maybe we're used to, or we're kind of subconsciously by. Oh yeah, Mississippi State, their offense. Not what do they got? What superstars do they have? Oh, Dan Mullen's not there calling plays. No, Jaquavius Marsh, good ball player. Whaley, good ball player. They got other good ball players. And Mike Leach, 1 year deeper into it, should be a whole new ball game in 2021.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
College football time in the South. Now back to more of the king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
Dan Enos declared being a coordinator in the SEC was better than being head coach in the MAC. There are other coaches that have made similar declarations. For instance, they just did it in reverse. For instance, Jim McElwain, remember, he was OC in Tuscaloosa, and pretty quickly, other programs started kind of calling around, playing footsie. I believe San Jose State actually was maybe one of the first programs. And he's like, no, that's a job. I want to eventually have the job. And that likely doesn't include the Spartans on my resume. I'm wondering about an SEC assistant, actually a coordinator right now, who has a sterling resume and reputation because there is a job open right now. I don't know that it's ever been the job for anybody. I want to welcome on now a guy who does a great job covering the SEC for Saturday Down South. It is Connor O'Gara. Connor, brother, how are you today?
I'm doing well, you know, trying to put a bow on everything spring football, but it's nice to actually have a full spring through. I get to overreact some spring games, which is way more than we could say at this time last year.
Oh, yeah, I'm jonesing for some overreaction, absolutely. Let's talk about the one, I think, the only open coaching vacancy in Division I. That's at Kansas. And little birdies and word around the campfire is that as they close this interview process or hiring process, whatever the right word is, Mike Elko is starting to emerge as maybe a not only a candidate but possibly a favorite. I say DC at Texas A&M is better than head coach at Kansas because you're not going to be head coach at Kansas very long. Give me your take, and is this real, by the way?
I think it's real, and it could be a little bit of leverage for Mike Elko, who, you know, I think is one of the top two or three best defensive coordinators in the sport. I think what he's been able to do since Jimbo Fisher poached him from Notre Dame and brought him to College Station has just been remarkable. That was a program that really struggled defensively during the Kevin Sumlin era, and I think the stability that he's provided, especially up front on the defensive line, I mean, I can't say enough good things about Mike Elko, and I think Jimbo has been fortunate to retain him. But what would this say about the state of the sport, where one of the two or three best defensive minds in it, the best job he can get is Kansas? I mean, times have changed a lot, and I think that Brent Venables is kind of the exception to the rule right now, where, yeah, he's the defensive-minded guy who's seemingly had Power 5 opportunities, but, you know, look at Clark Lea at Notre Dame last year. He's the one who took over for Mike Elko, and he gets the Vandy job. You know, like, this is just kind of the way that we're trending in this sport, where now defensive-minded guys, even if you're one of the best in the sport, your opportunities are few and far between. I don't know if Mike Elko is kind of taking a, you know, looking around and be like, I don't know if I'm going to get another Power 5 opportunity besides this one, but if he does take the Kansas job, one would tend to think that that's what he would want to do. I would argue being a Power 5 defensive coordinator is better than being a Group of 5 head coach in most situations, with the exception of probably a few of those jobs. But, you know, it's a fascinating development. I think the talk is real, and, you know, maybe he's just kind of realizing that his options might be limited if that's the route he wants to go as a head coach.
All right, let's talk on field, and we'll stay out at College Station. General takeaway seems to be, you know, regarding the quarterback competition, hey, game on. See you in August. How real is that? Because I know it's Haynes King, athlete, Zach Calzada, rocket arm. And I thought that Haynes King, you know, kind of entered spring with a little bit of a lead. Where do you think it stands now?
No, Haynes King is the guy. And look, I heard Greg McElroy say that he thinks that that Zach Calzada has sort of bridged whatever gap there was. If Jimbo Fisher was telling him beforehand, look, you know, we need to talk up Zach Calzada. It would make a lot of sense to me. I'm not saying that's definitively what happened, but Haynes King is the guy. He was getting so many reps with the ones. He came into camp, obviously, as the favorite. And I thought some of the things that happened that Jimbo brought up were outside of his control with some of the drop passes and stuff. Let's remember, it's a spring game setting where Haynes King isn't going to be getting the designed runs. That's a big part of his game and what he's able to do. And Jimbo Fisher loves his accuracy, absolutely loves it. I thought that was on display at times where, you know, even Zach Calzada had some pretty key mistakes in the spring game. It wasn't like he lit the world on fire. Didn't even complete 50% of his passes. So I think Haynes King is the guy. I think he is the X factor in the SEC this year. Just an unbelievable athlete. And I want to see him with the full arsenal. I want to see what he can look like when it's live game action. There's a real pass rush and he has to make plays with his legs. That's where he's at his best. And I think that we're going to get to see that in the fall. I don't have any doubt in my mind that barring a setback, injury or off-the-field-related issue, that Haynes King will be QB1 in College Station.
All right. If you're a little wiry and you can carry it and catch it, suddenly, you know, for about a dozen years, you've had to be the next Percy Harvin, which is just not a fair comparison. All right, Anaya Smith, I'll roll with you. The next Percy Harvin. I just can't get enough of that kid. I think Jimbo, that is as good a job of sort of not changing positions, but kind of morphing positions. I think it's as good as anybody done in the SEC the past 2 years.
I love it. And I became an Anaya Smith believer last year. My colleague, Michael Braden, was telling me coming into the year, watch this kid. He is going to be special. He is versatile. He's going to really open up the playbook and what they're able to do. And they're going to have him a little bit more in the slot receiver role this year, which is where he's most comfortable. It was kind of filling a need for them last year before Devon Achane emerged, as he did down the stretch. Of course, the MVP of the Orange Bowl. Once he's done running track, Achane is going to be RB2 there. Backing up Isaiah Spiller. They're going to run the ball a lot. They're going to get to do some different things with Anaya Smith, but he's electric, man. I think his route running is spectacular, and I love watching the spring game, seeing Jimbo get on him. Jimbo gets on the guys who he thinks has a lot of potential, and he thinks that can really take that team to a new level. And there was very vocal seeing, you know, Jimbo, you know, kind of criticizing some of the route running. He's like, why'd you break off your route here? Why'd you do this? But I agree with you. I think he's a special player, and I think he's such a unique weapon. But we're seeing more teams in the SEC try and expand and have a player that's kind of that hybrid guy, like Wandale Robinson over at Kentucky, Tyler Beatty at Mizzou. I think teams are just getting more creative, and they're seeing a path for playing time with these guys that can do a lot of things.
All right, let's bounce to the East. I was surprised in a good way with UT's spring game offense, just because, I mean, new system, quarterback, coach, play calling, all that, plus pace. I was like, folks, this is set up to not look real good for the QBs. And that was before the game Saturday. Brother, they rolled, all three of them. It was so good to see something good happen on offense, because I had no expectations for the spring game for Tennessee.
This is going to feel a little bit like 2017 Ole Miss, I think. And I think Tennessee's defense is going to be the worst in the SEC, if I'm predicting today, and especially with the news that Corvarius Crouch is going to be going to Michigan State. He's not going to be staying at Tennessee. Yeah. But I would hope that the offense was going to look good. That's Josh Heupel's biggest selling point year one, is to build an offensive brand that is fun. It takes shots downfield, which they did not do enough of with Jim Chaney in that offense the last couple of years. And it's something that offensive players want to come and be a part of. That's at the skill positions. He can establish that in year one. The receivers, and seeing some of the comments that are coming out of the spring game, they're like, man, we've been waiting for this. This is awesome. This is so much fun. Yeah, that's what he does. Josh Heupel is home run or strikeout on offense. It's not going to be great for those defenders to have to play with, but they're set up now with an interesting possibility of having multiple quarterbacks go into fall camp with a legitimate shot to win the battle. I still think Hendon Hooker is going to be the guy, but it gives me a little bit of pause that they brought in Joe Milton from Michigan. Of course, people liked what Harrison Bailey did in the spring game, stretching the field, hoping that he can be a little bit of that Drew Locke type with Josh Heupel. But yeah, I think this battle is far from over, though I would probably still give the edge to Hendon Hooker. Again, just as we talked about with Haynes King, if you can't see the mobility in the spring game, it's a little bit tougher. Hendon Hooker led Power 5 quarterbacks in rushing last year. That's part of his game. And with the offensive line issues they could potentially have, I think he's the best fit. But you know, I think anybody there is set up to have success in that offense in year one with Josh Heupel.
I was a guest on somebody else's show this morning, and the question was, Do you think Tennessee can get back to being Tennessee within the next 10 years? And I was like, wow, I didn't know that the past 10, 12, 15 years on Rocky Top had made that sort of impression. But then I started thinking about it. I was like, okay, I'll play. I do. But I also recognize why you're not asking us 5 years. Because Tennessee, it's almost like it was the exception now when they were an elite program. It's been so long.
I'm not going to sit here and say that, just because as long as Nick Saban is in Alabama, Kirby Smart is at Georgia, and Dan Mullen's at Florida, which, you know, ask me in a year about that. But I think as long as those three barriers are sitting there, you can't sit here and say that Tennessee's going to get back to what it was. If we're talking about early 21st century, yeah, late, you know, 20th century success, I just think it's unrealistic to expect that to all of a sudden, you know, be par for the course. Just times have changed, the power structure has changed, the money has changed, resources, facilities, all those different things. But so if I'm sitting here today, I would definitely not bet on Tennessee getting back to that level. But can they be more competitive, and can they play a better brand of football than they have in recent memory? Absolutely.
You familiar at all with the online sort of daily wagering, I guess, Prize Picks? Have you ever heard of Prize Picks?
I'm not as familiar with it, but I'm trying to become more well-versed in it.
All right. It's the choice for – I mean, I've tried FanDuel, DraftKings, all of it. And by the way, no, none of them are sponsors here. But it's a single-player bet, and it's – I'm telling you, a guy like Anaya Smith, for instance, I mean, he was money every single week. I was like, over on Anaya Smith, and, you know, hit. What is the chance that James Cook finally has that sort of season that everybody thinks he can as a dual threat backfield player for the Georgia Bulldogs?
I think there's absolutely a chance, and I should have brought him up with that group of Wandell Robinson, Tyler Beatty, and Anaya Smith, because this offense is now very conducive to that. And you're hoping to have a very well-versed quarterback in JT Daniels, who everybody talks about the attention to detail that this guy has. He knows where that check down is. He knows if he's going to have James Cook in a mismatch running routes out of the backfield, yeah, or in the slot or wherever they want to use him. But they are really high on him. And when George Pickens went down, it was one of the saving graces of, hey, look, at least James Cook is back, because he's going to be used a lot more in this offense. They have so many different weapons in that backfield. Everybody knows Zamir White, of course, but Kendall Milton as well. And some of the things that they're going to be able to do there suggest that they're going to want to get James Cook on the field as much as possible. I don't know if it'll be quite as prolific as someone like Anaya Smith last year, but I absolutely think there's potential for him to be a game-changing weapon. And even if it's not high volume, it can still be a difference maker. He could win a game or two for Georgia this season.
Quick word on Luke Doty and what the offense may be, maybe what we should expect in 2021. Obviously, Marshawn Lloyd coming back full strength could change a lot.
I'm not quite there yet with Luke Doty. I'm in wait-and-see mode, and I know that it was a smart move for Shane Beamer to come out, pretty much name him the starter and say, look, unless something happens, he's the guy. It's kind of a best option. When you're getting a transfer in from St. Francis, with all due respect to St. Francis, fine school up in the great state of Pennsylvania, as your backup, I'm not exactly sold on that as a legitimate starting option in the SEC. We got to see Luke Doty stretch the field. He's got one pass in his career over 30 yards. It was kind of a trick play to the tight end. We need to see him be able to stretch the field. The athletic ability is there, but can he consistently run this offense with Marcus Satterfield? They're going to be a run-heavy team. That we know. They have a great 1-2 punch, potentially 1-2-3 punch this year at tailback. So I'm not sold on him, but I like the confidence that Shane Beamer has in him. And I think long-term, it's very intriguing. Just a little bit more in wait-and-see mode with him.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned the deep ball. Did you see Coach Beamer got a little salty post-game, asked about, why didn't you throw deep with Luke? I swear we can throw. He's done a lot in practice. But it's that question. It's kind of the storyline that's out there. Connor, great stuff, brother. Tell everybody down there at Saturday Down South said, hey, man.
Yep, appreciate it. Will do.
All right, Connor Aguirre again, Saturday Down South. Yeah, that was one of the big takeaways post-game. Like, I mean, you always – sometimes the coach, he'll just broadcast it for you, like Shane Beamer. I mean, he said – these are the words, quote, if that's going to be your story this season, you need to find another one. Well, that's about as direct as it gets. I was talking with Jeff Collins on Friday before the Georgia Tech game, and I asked him about Jeff Sims, the starter, but also asked him about Jordan Yates, who was a quarterback who I think was a four-star local kid who Paul Johnson had done a lot of recruiting of Jordan Yates. And so my understanding is Jeff Collins shows up, and it's like, you know what? He's probably a pretty good option, even though I don't know that I he's probably down the – yeah, okay, we'll keep the offer. Come on, Jordan Yates, sign with us. It was kind of like, yeah, this is a lot more work than we want to do for a kid from scratch, even though we don't – I asked Jeff Collins about Jordan Yates before the game the other day because he was starting for the other team, the gold or the white. And it was about working hard and leadership, and I was like – I realized later, he talked 30 seconds about this kid. Obviously likes him. Didn't mention one thing about on-field. And this was the quarterback for the second team. So you had a gold team where Jeff Sims was, or white, and then the other team, like Jordan Yates, was supposed to be the guy. And I realized he didn't say a word about him, not physically, not his arm, not his athletic ability, not anything. I was like, Jordan Yates ain't a ball player. Doesn't really appear, not at a level like Georgia Tech. Again, that is my takeaway. My takeaway from what Shane Beamer said the other day is – he knows it's a legitimate question, and it's one of those – I mean, when he said, if that's your story, pick a new one, that's – I mean, that story wasn't going to go away.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
If you want to blame somebody, is blame Tom Brady. You know, for go back to 2000, there was only three guys in 2000 that had a positive quarterback effect coming out of college that were drafted. Tom Brady was one of them. But because he fell all the way down to day three, they don't want to miss Tom Brady again.
One thing I was talking about yesterday, that the most successful NFL franchises, the most successful ones don't take quarterbacks in the first round very often. And when they do, they hit. That was Dave Bartu. He was on this here program earlier today talking about QBs and the draft, making that transition to being a pro. And, again, the impulse to – that it is a relatively recent past 20, 25 years – to trade up more often, to trade up in the first round, even if it's not the first overall pick. There's been a lot of change, more aggressiveness, devoting more of your future draft assets, which used to be looked at as gold, to, oh, no, we're going to trade this now, want this quarterback right here, right now. Even more of that than there's ever been, and it hadn't rewarded most of the franchises who have gone about it that way because, again, the winning franchises, I mean, New England hadn't had a first-round draft pick at quarterback since 1993. Seattle hasn't had one since maybe 94. Pittsburgh, Ben Roethlisberger in 2004, it's the only first-round draft pick they spent on a quarterback since 1980. So you look all around the league, it's not something that they do very often, but it's what so many more teams think, I've got to take a quarterback. And the reality is maybe you need to evaluate the quarterback more so than you need to take the quarterback. So, again, I appreciate Dave Bartu coming on. That is going to be my closing argument brought by the law offices of Alexander Shinar and Associates. I was going to run out of music. I knew it. Alexander Shinar and Associates, no matter where you are in the Deep South, whether you're in Tennessee, Alabama, Georgia, Florida, wherever, when you need legal expertise, you need Alexander Shinar and Associates. Dan Matthews, how are you?
I think we can throw Dak Prescott in that group as well. I mean, with what Jerry Jones finally was able to find with him. Now,
he's going to kind of break the mold. And I know that what we've seen in Kansas City now with Patrick Mahomes as well is what I've talked about before on this show is, Chuck, we're not going to see less quarterbacks taken because of what Dave said. We're only going to see more because it's going to come time where the bill is due for a Kirk Cousins, a Jimmy Garoppolo, a Matt Ryan. Quarterbacks who are good quarterbacks, not great, that you look at and say, yeah, no longer am I going to take this knife, stab myself in the hamstring, and then have to try to be able to fix what is left of my roster in terms of trying to balance out the cap and trying to make sure I take care of my star wide receiver or my running back or my left tackle whenever it comes up, or my big-time pass rusher. I mean, that's why I just think that now we're just going to see situations where teams are looking, really overanalyzing the quarterback spot and saying, yeah, hey, guess what? You want to go try to chase your money? Go chase your money. We're going to go get this guy. Or if nothing else, 2 or 3 years into your tenure, we're going to draft your replacement. And that's going to let you know that your replacement is coming.
Yeah, quarterbacks have become disposable at the NFL level. And again, that was almost never the case. You spent a first-round draft choice on a rookie quarterback. I mean, with like David Green was a third-round pick. And I don't know that he ever took an NFL snap. For whatever reason, Seattle realized, this is just not what we thought, except whatever. Didn't work out. There's thousands of stories like that. There's not a lot of stories of a first-round pick at quarterback who never really gets his shot. I mean, historically, go back decades and decades and decades and decades. You invest first-round pick at that position, you're going to get a full chance no matter what. That is not the case anymore. Josh Rosen was, I think, the number 10 pick. He was top 10 pick. He's now on his fourth team, going into his third year.
Barely even making rosters.
Yeah. And so, you know, Jared Goff, he was 1-1. First pick, first round. And he got a second contract, and the Rams are like, goodbye. Quarterbacks have become disposable, even first-round picks.
Well, I mean, like I said, too, I mean, it's the 3 years fully guaranteed that you're giving to Kirk Cousins. That's no good. What I wanted to finish the show on today is we have had different names that have become synonymous with certain parts of college football, and namely now it's transfers. And the most recent one, Shadrack Banks. Wide receiver from Texas A&M. And I bring him up because we've seen somebody like him before, but I think he is the newest version of this. He is a 2021 signee. He was an early enrollee, went through spring practice. He is already in the transfer portal. And Chuck, he's just going to be the first of many on this because you're going to have a lot of players who finally get there and say, yeah, hey, you were a lot nicer over the phone, or you were a lot nicer through a computer. I didn't realize that you were this way, or that I didn't necessarily realize that the campus was this, or anything else of the sort, because no official visits, no real chance to work the process as a recruit.
Yeah.
That's going to have consequences for the recruits themselves of finally getting to a place and saying, yeah, hey, all your gear and everything was cool. This place just isn't for me.
It's almost like the one-time transfer waiver. This entire year's signing class, it'll be a temptation for them to use their one free pass on a situation that was set up for them to kind of fail. Hey, go pick the place where, hey, you can transfer once, but try to get it right at least out of the gate. And it was set up for them to not get that choice right and then have to use their one-time transfer to make up for something that the system kind of laid on them. So, life ain't fair. The latest example. Wraps it up on a Tuesday, folks. Be back tomorrow. More college football conversation right here on Chuck Oliver Show.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.